80s night after service. Who's coming? 80s dance party. You guys look good and horrible at the same time. And I think I had a wig on beforehand. I think I got some sort of like weird allergic reaction to that hair. But anyway, I have a question for you guys tonight. What makes a legend? What makes a legend? Oftentimes, unfortunately, a legend is formed because of exaggerated stories and things that just aren't true, made up things, you know, just passed down, myth passed down from time to time. And I think somebody's lost over here. Can somebody help Gabriel in the back? Thank you. Rumors passed down turned the gladiator into something that he wasn't. People told stories about the gladiator. How many of you have seen that movie with Maximus? They told stories how, you know, he was a giant and that he was something more than a man, larger than life. See, mystery can often lead to myth. Unfortunately, people spread rumors when there's uncertainty. You guys know this. When there's questions, when a mysterious person enters into your life and you're just like, where do they come from? What are they doing? Like somebody comes to your school, a brand new student, and you start asking questions like, who is she? Who is he? Like, where do they come from? And the rumors are flying. Everybody's talking like, oh, I heard that he's a spy and that his parents and his family had to leave. And now they changed their names. They have a new identity. And now they're hiding in Albuquerque. That's what I heard. You know, or somebody leaves school unexpectedly, mysteriously, and everybody starts to talk. You know what I'm talking about? Like, this happened to me. I went to El Dorado High School. Anybody here go to El Dorado? I went there for my freshman year, sophomore year, and junior year, and I stopped going to that school for my senior year. And I had some friends that went to El Dorado, but there was a rumor that was going around that I died. It was actually started by some of my friends, and it didn't last very long. Right? Because, you know, my friends couldn't keep a straight face anymore. And they're like, yeah, you know, it's so sad, right? And it was like, oh, like, where did Kelly go, right? What happened to him? Is he in heaven? Like, where is he, right? Mystery leads to jumping to conclusions and leads to, you know, one story leads to the next story. The next rumor leads to the next rumor. And pretty soon a legend is born. That's the way it was with Enoch in the Bible. We're starting a new series. We started it last week. It's called Strangers and Sojourners. And we're looking at the Hall of Faith, the men and women in Scripture who were examples to us and how to live by faith and not by sight. Men and women who lived not just for this life, but for the next life. And Enoch is the second character study that we see here. But he turned into a bit of a legend. See, because if we look at Scripture, we don't really know much about him. We don't really know who he was or what he did. We don't know much about his life. He's mentioned just in a little two verses in a genealogy in the Old Testament, in Genesis 5. Basically, a genealogy is like a list of names. You know, this person had some sons and this person had some kids and these were their names and they aged and they had more kids. And it's just name after name after name. It's a genealogy. And so he's just listed among so many different names here in Scripture. And yet he's mentioned in the Hall of Fame, and we'll talk about why. We don't know much about him. We know a little bit about his family. He had a dad named Jared, and Jared was a cool dad. He had frosted tips and he wore Oakley sunglasses and he was a cool dad. You know, like, yeah, I'm Jared. No, I'm just kidding. You're like, what? Is that really in the Bible? No, I just thought Jared was kind of that name for like a cool dad. And maybe you don't think it's funny, but I thought it was kind of hilarious looking at Jared in the Bible. Anyway, moving along. You guys are a tough crowd. You all look silly in your 80s garb, okay? So here it is. That's all we know. We know his dad was named Jared. We know that his son was named Methuselah. And Methuselah became the oldest human being to have ever lived. And then Enoch had some more sons and daughters, it says, but it doesn't name them. It doesn't tell anything about them. We learn from Scripture in that just that little genealogy that Enoch lived to be 365 years old. That's pretty old. Now, men and women lived a lot longer back then when the earth was brand new, and we won't get into that right now. But we know very little except that it says he walked with God and he didn't die because God took him. He walked with God And he didn't die because God took him. How crazy is that? Enoch is a mystery man. And so because of that mystery that surrounded him, he turned into quite of a legend. People told all kinds of stories, you know, hundreds of years later, as people were, you know, just looking at the story of Enoch, thousands of years later. There's been so much attached to this man, Enoch, and most of it's not true. You know, it's been said, there were stories that were passed down that said that Enoch was the first man who was skilled in sewing. And he made clothes. And he taught other people to make clothes. There's a story that told that Enoch, the historians told us this, William Barclay, he's a historian, and he talked a lot about this time period. And he said, there's a lot of stories that tell that Enoch invented shoes. That's kind of crazy, right? Shoes? Like, where do they get that from? Was he like an elf, you know, just like making shoes for people and telling people, you should put something on your feet, right? Like, that's kind of what was going on here in these stories. Legend says that Enoch was the first person to write stuff down in a book. And he was the first person to teach from books. Now, I think that's kind of crazy because all of this stuff is just made up. Like, there's no biblical accuracy to any of those stories. They're just legend. They're just folklore. They're just myth. Because there's so much mystery surrounding Enoch. We don't know very much. Except we know that he walked with God and that God took him. Those are the facts. That's the truth there. He's mentioned in Hebrews 11, verse 5 through 6. So if you have a Bible, open it up to those two verses. That's the only two verses that we're looking at tonight. And he's mentioned as a man of faith. Yes, he is a legend. And that's why I've called this message legend, because that's who he became. But not because of misinformation, not because of myth and stories that were made up, but because he was a man who pleased God. See, that's not an easy task to accomplish. He pleased God. And he pleased God so much that God took him, and he didn't experience death like every other human being in life that ever lived, minus Elijah, has done. And we'll get to that later. But he got to skip death. He was a man who feared God, who walked with God, who pleased God. And I think that's in and of itself what makes him a legend. So let's go ahead and read those two verses, if you have your Bible. If you don't, you can share with the person next to you. Last week we looked at Abel, and now we're looking at Enoch. So let's go ahead and look at verse 5 and 6. But by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had a testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Middle school students, have you ever been, or even high school students in the past, have you ever been picked up early from school? Doesn't that feel nice? High school students, have you ever gotten a pass? Some of you get picked up, some of you drive, but like you get that pass. That like, hey, somebody's here to pick you up. Somebody, a parent has approved for you to get off of class early. It feels good to be able to be like, oh, well, I get to go experience real life. And I don't have to, you know, stay here in this building in enduring all this pain that is my classroom. And so you get to go. I remember a couple times in middle school, my parents surprised me by picking me up early for my birthday. And I got to go out to lunch with them, and they were just like, hey, we want to spend the day with you. And I remember getting that pass to go to the principal's office because I was getting picked up. And I remember just being so stoked. It felt so good getting my backpack on, looking at the other kids like, laters, losers, right? Have fun dying and decaying in this building. Well, I'm experiencing life to the fullest, right? And I get to leave class. And it was super fun. But here it is. God picks Enoch up early. That's basically how we look at it. So Enoch, can you imagine the joy that came from him? God picking him up early. Imagine this. He's having a quiet time. He's worshiping God. He's praying to God. He's talking to God. And then all of a sudden, God's like, all right, man, let's go, Enoch. I'm picking you up early. We're going home. Let's go celebrate. Let's go have some fun. I'm going to reward you for your faithfulness. This life is done. I'm going to take you now. Now, Enoch wasn't like, oh, man, but wait, like my grandkids and all this stuff. I got to experience life. No, that was a joy. You got to imagine getting picked up early from God because he walked so faithfully and so close. But he was picked up early. Now, here's the question. Why did God take him? The answer? I don't know. I have no idea. God is God. He does whatever he wants. But I do know that he lived a life pleasing to God. Again, that's not an easy task. It's not an easy task. How did he do it? Well, the answer is with faith. Because we just looked at the text. Without faith, it's what? What's that word? It's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's not just, you know, kind of difficult to please God. It's not like, you know, you're making things a little bit complicated. It's impossible to please God if you don't have faith. And so that's how he did it. That's what earned him a ranking in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11 for all of the world to read. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit, but here he is. By faith, pleasing God. How do we do that? How can we please God? As men and women, as boys and girls, as people in this room tonight, how can you please God? Yes, by faith, but let's look at three things that I see in the text tonight. Three ways that we can please God. The only way that we can truly please God. The first one is this. Believe. It's pretty simple. It's so profound. This is the only way to please Almighty God, the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who is altogether holy and perfect and spotless, the God who's sovereign over all creation. The only way to please that God is to believe. To believe. Let me ask you a question. How do you feel when someone you love doesn't trust you? Yeah, it feels terrible. You feel horrible when somebody that you love dearly doesn't believe in you. You feel awful. You might feel a little heartbroken, a little sad, maybe a little frustrated or a little angry. Like if your friend chooses to confide, your best friend, your BFF, chooses to confide in somebody else instead of you. Like they're talking about their problems, they're asking them for help, and you're like, whoa, like where did that come from? Like, what am I? Like, I'm your best friend, right? You feel kind of sad. You feel almost betrayed. If your family doesn't believe in you, you're not happy when that happens. You're happy when they do. You're happy when your friends come to you and they confide in you and they ask you for help. And they're the person that is there when they're in trouble, when you're in trouble. That's what you want. Like if my wife was driving down I-25 and she got a flat tire. If she called somebody from work instead of me to come help her, oh my goodness, I would be so mad. Like I'd be sad. I'd be crying. I'd be like, "What? You don't think I can change the tire? Like, I can change the tire, right? I'm just like, I'm your husband. Like, I got you. You know, don't call so and so from work. Like, call me, right? We would feel heartbroken if something like that happened to us. We feel a bit jealous. And let me tell you this: God isn't pleased when people look to anything else except for Him for help. He's not pleased by that. See, the Creator is heartbroken when the creation chooses to put their hope in the created things instead of the Creator Almighty. He's heartbroken when that happens. He's a jealous God, so he's like, wait a minute, what's going on? Why are you worshiping these idols? Why are you trying to be self-sufficient when I've got you? See, God wants you to believe in Him. He wants you to put your trust in Him. Why? Because He loves you. It's not because he's trying to flex his muscles and be egotistical. He loves you and he knows what's best for you. Let me say it again. He loves you and he knows what's best for you. He knows your desires before you even have them. He knows the path for your life that you haven't even come to yet. And so when you put your trust in anything else less than God, you're putting yourself in a dangerous place. Let me tell you that tonight. You're putting yourself in a very dangerous place when you think, you know what, I've got this. I'm self-sufficient. It's in a dangerous place for you to be because God doesn't want you to get hurt. I tell you that tonight. God doesn't want you to fall into a place where you're so much further away from Him, where you're being destructive with your own life. See, when people turn to religion over God, when people turn to religion over God, he's grieved because he knows that religion won't save you. And he doesn't want you to die in your sin. And so when people are just like, oh yeah, well, good works, and I gotta do all these things, and I gotta go to the ceremonies, and I gotta be good, and if I'm good enough in my religion, then God will save me. God says, no, that won't. That'll put you further away from me, and that's not what I want, so come to me. When people believe that they could find their own way in life, God is grieved because he knows the truth. He knows that he is the way. He's the only way, the truth and the life. And whoever comes to anyone else except for him won't find what they're looking for. And God doesn't want you to be lost. God wants you to be found. That's the heart of Almighty God. He knows. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, look, God doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. But he wants all people to repent. God wills that no man and no woman should perish, but all should come to everlasting life. Do you believe that? That's God's heart. And so the way to please God is to believe in him. The way to please God is to understand, hey, you know what? I can't do it on my own. I'm the created thing. I need to come to the Creator. I'm a sinner. I need to come to the Savior. I'm a child who is empty and an orphaned, and I need to go to my Father. And he will come to me, and he will by no means cast you out. The way to please God is to trust in him. See, a rebellious life, a religious life, that doesn't do any good for us. A rebellious heart makes God angry, but a repentant heart makes God extremely delighted. It makes him pleased. In the same way, as a life of sin, it continues to break God's heart. But a life of faith pleases God. Which one are you going to live? Are you going to live a rebellious life? Or are you going to live a life pleasing to the Father? And the way to please him is to come to him and to know that he's the only way. That he's our only hope. That he's our only help. Maybe you're here tonight and you need to know that. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been religious or you've been rebellious and you've never had a moment, a time where you've given your life to Jesus. You haven't surrendered to him. You've been doing it your own way. Maybe you're here and you need to begin a life of faith. See, maybe you're here tonight and you've been religious. You've been rebellious. You've been resistant. But tonight you could be redeemed. You can become part of the family of God. And so before I even get to my next point, I want to give you an opportunity to give your life to God. And just to say, hey, you know what? I've been doing it my own way, and I need him. Let me tell you this. God loves you so much that he paid the ultimate price. He sent Jesus to this earth to take your sin, to take the consequences of your sin. And not only did he take your sin, he took the shame and the guilt and the wrath of Almighty God. It was put on his shoulders so that you could have everlasting life. That's the gospel. And if you haven't received that, then and you're still lost. And that's not what God wants for you. He doesn't want you to be in hell. He did everything. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Is a crazy verse for me to read. Did you know that God was pleased to see Jesus on the cross? See, Isaiah 53:10 says, God was pleased to bruise his son. What kind of father is pleased to see their son bruised and bloodied and beaten? Now God the Father wasn't like happy to see Jesus suffering, but he was happy and he was pleased because he knew the outcome of his pain and the outcome of his suffering on the cross would be for your benefit. That's how much God loves you. And I don't know if you know that tonight, but I pray that you would receive that. I pray that your hearts would be broken by the love of the Father, the love of God that is for you in Christ Jesus. He sent his son so that whoever believes. Isn't that what John 3:16 says? For God so loved the world that whoever, what is that word? Say it louder, come on. Whoever believes will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's how much God loves you. His love has no depth that we could get across. It's so deep. It's so wide. We can never experience the end of it. That's how much God loves you. That much. And what do you have to do? Just believe. You have to trust. Surrender. God's already done the work. Jesus has already done the work on the cross, and he's not dead. He's alive forevermore. And so all you have to do is just say, hey, I need that. I need that life-saving salvation for my soul. You know, Enoch didn't die physically. That's amazing. But if you receive Jesus tonight, you're not going to die spiritually. And that's where it counts. It's appointed for everyone to die. And everyone at the end of this life has to go and appear before God in judgment. And if you stood before God tonight, where would you stand? Would you be forgiven? Would you have accepted that gift? Or would you still be in a place where you thought that religion could save you? Where you thought that your own self-sufficiency would be enough? See, it won't be enough at that point. So God wills that now you believe. The Bible says now is the acceptable time. So if there's anybody in here who wants that eternal life, who wants to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that when they die, eternity and heaven and paradise is waiting for them. If there's anybody in here who's saying, you know what, I'm an orphan, but I need my heavenly Father. I'm a sinner, but I need salvation. I need to be forgiven of all those crimes that I've committed against holy God. If you're in here, I just want you to raise your hand before we even continue with this sermon. Is there anybody here? Don't be ashamed. If you need that, there's a hand right here. God is here. God wants to save you. God loves you. And He wills that no one should perish, but all should come to everlasting life. Is there anybody else in this room? Just raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I want to lead you in a prayer to receive Jesus in your heart. Anybody else? Right over here. And right here. Raise those hands high. I want those leaders to see it. Keep your hand raised if that's you. Right here in the side. Right around here in the back. I can see you guys, leaders, if you see them. That's an amazing thing. Hey, let's pray. Let's pray for them. And if you raised your hand, I want you to pray this prayer. Remember, it's not a prayer that saves you, because then that's just a religious thing. It's a surrendered heart before the Lord, but He wants you to confess that you need Him. So just tell Him this tonight. Say, God, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry. I've committed so many crimes against holy God. Forgive me. I believe that Jesus came and He died in my place. And He's alive. So come into my life and make me a new person. I want to follow You starting now and for the rest of my life. Thank You for the promise of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's make some noise. Let me tell you tonight, God is pleased. God is pleased, and heaven is rejoicing. The Bible says when one sinner repents, all of heaven throws a party. I'm sure it's an 80s dance party up there. They're going crazy because new life is in this room tonight. And the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creation. The old is past and the new is here. So you could be comforted by that truth. But let's move on. And if that was you, if you raise your hand, we want to talk to you after service. Don't go away. And stay for the dance party, because it's a good reason to get your dance on, right? Here's the second thing, to please God. So yes, in order to please God, we got to believe. Here's the second thing, we got to walk daily. Walk daily. I like to walk with my daughter. She's 2 years old. It's a little cutie. If you've ever seen her, her name's DJ. She's a little crazy, too, at the same time. I love walking with my daughter, unless she runs away from me. I've said it before. That little girl is like Forrest Gump, okay? Like, I'm walking with her, and I'll tell her, like, DJ, what did I say? And she's like, just walk. And I'm like, okay, thank you. And then we're walking, and all of a sudden, like, she just can't do it anymore. Her body is just, like, out of control. She can't control it, and she just darts off as fast as she can to the other side of the room. And I'll tell her, I'm like, DJ, like, don't run away from me. And she's like, sorry, Daddy. Like, I'm like, what's going on with you? Like, you just can't stop running. I'm going to put her in track someday in cross country, and she's going to make money for us. But I love walking with her when she stays at my pace, when she's going where I go. You know, if she's like, if we're walking and she sees something that she likes, she'll get distracted and she'll just let go of my hand and she's like, ooh, shiny things, right? Like squirrel, you know, she's doing all these things. And sometimes she just really doesn't like to go where we're going. So she, like, I'm holding her hand and she's just like, you know, she like completely just falls down, collapses, and just falls on the floor. And she's like, I don't want to go there. And I'm like, but why are you on the floor, you know? But how crazy would that be if we did that as like the age that you guys and even me as an adult, you know? Like, how crazy would that be if I was walking around the mall with my wife and she's walking and she leads me into Bath and Body and I'm like, I don't want to go there. Yeah. And she's like, what is wrong with you? Grow up, right? That'd be awful. I just thought that was kind of funny. What am I saying? Oh, anyway, walking with somebody is so much better when you're in agreement. You know, when you know that you're walking the same place and that person's desires are your desires. Enoch walked with God daily. He didn't fight against him. He wasn't like, I don't want to go there, right? He wasn't throwing a tantrum when God called him to a certain place or God called him to do this or that or to act on his convictions. He went. He walked by faith. He didn't fight God. He responded to God. He followed his lead. He didn't become distracted by the things of this world. We walk with God by faith, wherever he leads. And sometimes it's not places that we feel are pleasant or places that we want to go. See, following Jesus isn't always a walk in the park. Sometimes God leads you through the valley of the shadow of death. But let me tell you, even there he's with you. And even there, it's a worthwhile walk. See, because God wants to increase your faith. I've said that before. And that's my prayer for every single one of you. That's my prayer for myself as I teach this series, that God would increase my faith. And our faith only grows in difficult places. Our faith will only grow in difficult places. So don't be afraid. Don't play it safe as a Christian. No, take a step. Take some risks. Because God wants to increase your trust in him. And he'll never increase that trust if you're just on the line. Just like, well, you know what? I don't know if I'll take the plunge. I don't know if I'll really give him everything that he's called me to do right now. That your faith will never grow in those circumstances. Learn to walk with God wherever he leads you. That's something that I need to put in practice every single day of my life. And let me tell you, it's easier said than done, but it's so worth it. Learn to walk where God leads you. Learn to appreciate the difficult times, because those times will test your faith. And those times will prove your faith to be something like gold that's been refined in the furnace. That's what God wants to do in your life. You know, I'm looking at Genesis. And I'm comparing it with the Hall of Faith. And I see that Adam didn't end up in the Hall of Faith. The first man who ever lived. Now, he's in heaven, I'm sure of that. But he didn't end up in the Hall of Faith. See, because when he sinned, when he rebelled, he stopped walking with God. You remember? God walked in the garden with Adam in the cool of the day. How cool is that? And Adam got to experience that communion with God on a whole other level. But when he sinned, he ran away and he hid from God. He hid his nakedness, his shame. Instead of clinging to God, when Enoch lived his life, he diligently sought after God. He would seek him constantly. I'm not saying Enoch was a perfect man. I'm just saying he was a man who was committed to seeking after God, even in the hard times, even in his failures. Are you hiding from God or are you seeking him? What is your heart? Where is it tonight? Are you hiding from God? Because you're ashamed. Because you're broken. Because you feel like God couldn't accept you after what you've done. And maybe it hasn't been the first time. Maybe you're like, I've done it again and again. And now I just finally feel like giving up. And I'm just hiding like Adam. And I'm ashamed. And I don't even know if I can come to church. I'm barely here tonight, Kelly. Are you hiding or are you seeking? God is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. God wants to reward you. He wants to give you good things. And sin will always stop your walk. Sin will always bring it to a halt. Sin will always stop your walk. But in those times, when that happens, it's when, not if. When that happens, don't run and hide. Stay and seek. When you fall on your face, instead of saying, oh, God can't love me anymore. I can't show my face in church anymore. I'm just going to hide. Instead of doing that, stay and seek. And if you seek him with all your heart, he will be found. Draw near to God, and guess what? He'll draw near to you. That is the truth in Scripture. How do we diligently seek God like Enoch did? Well, let me just be very, very, very practical. Read your Bible. Read your Bible daily. Pray. Talk to God. Remember, you as a child of God, whether you prayed that for the first time tonight or you've been a Christian for many years, don't forget that you have direct access to the Father, that you've been given that. So you can enter into His throne room with boldness. Talk to God daily. Read His Word. It's His letter to you. It's His testimony to you. It's His revelation to you. It's a love letter. And He wants you to hear from Him. That's how you diligently seek after God. See, the better you know God, the better your walk's going to be. Simple as that. Is that good? The better you know God, the better your walk's going to be. I like what Paul said to the church in Colossae. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 10, he says to the church, and I just love his heart as a pastor. He says, I do not cease to pray for you and ask that you be filled with, listen, the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Wow. How do we please God? We get to know His Word. And our walk is based off the knowledge of God's Word and the knowledge of His will, the understanding of it. What am I saying? I'm saying our faith in God grows as we spend time with Him. You want your faith to grow? Spend time with God. He wants to increase it. And the better you get to know God's Word, the better you get to know Him. The more you spend in time in prayer and communion with Him, the better you're going to know Him. And the more you spend time with God, the more aware you'll become of His presence. The more you spend time with God, the more aware His presence becomes. See, when you're not spending time with God, you forget that He's there. I don't know. I haven't had a quiet time in a while. Sin is just so much easier right now. Temptation is not something that I'm saying no to. When we don't spend time with God, we forget. When we don't spend time with God, we hide from Him. And we just fall on our faces so easily. We shut Him out. But here's the truth. God's always there. God's always here in the midst of us. But the more we read our Bibles and the more we pray, the nearer He becomes. Again, draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. When you're reading His Word and you're experiencing that truth that He's given you, all of a sudden you're like, whoa, God is everywhere. And you start practicing the presence of God in your life. What does that mean? Well, it means if you're seeking God in the bedroom, then you're not going to be in there looking at pornography. If you're seeking God in that relationship first, then you're not going to be having sex outside of marriage and you're not going to be compromising in your faith. If you're seeking God and you're walking where God wants you to walk, you're not going to walk the places that He doesn't want you to be in, that are destructive for you. If you're walking with Him and you're in agreement with Him, then the presence of God is everywhere. And maybe for some of you, that's a scary thing. You're like, God is here. Like, God is there. When I'm on my computer at 12 o'clock at night, God is there. For some of us, it's a scary thought, but when we come to God and we cling to Him and we know that He is a rewarder to those who diligently seek Him, then it becomes not a terror, but a delight to our souls. And we say, yes, God is here. And that's good, because I want to experience Him. I want my faith to grow in Him. You want to please God? Learn to walk with Him daily, because He is a rewarder to those who are faithful. Here's the third thing. Leave a legacy. Leave a legacy. Enoch is a legend. He's a legend. Not because of misinformation and myth. Not even because he didn't die. I mean, that's pretty cool. But that's not what makes him a legend here in the Hall of Faith. He's a legend because he pleased God. He lived a life pleasing to God. And the rapture that he experienced, the getting to go to heaven early, to getting picked up early, that was just a byproduct of the real act of faith, and that was pleasing him. Remember, that's a hard task. That's not an easy thing, to please God. But we know how. To believe in him and to walk with him daily. That's what God's called us to do. Let me ask you a question tonight. How do you want to be remembered? How do you want to be remembered? That makes you think. Now, naturally, you'd probably want to be remembered by using, you know, your God-given talents and abilities in the way that is most productive, the way that's most successful, whether you're a graphic designer or you're a musician or whatever you are. Maybe some of you are like, I want to be remembered as a successful businesswoman or a successful businessman. I want to be a professional athlete someday. I want to be remembered as that. Maybe some of you think about your life, you know, you're young, but you're like, I guess my legacy, if I really think about it, I want to be a faithful husband or a faithful wife. I want to be a good dad or a good mom. I want to leave a legacy of many grandkids. You're thinking about those things. Maybe it's like, I just want to do my job well. I want to be a good photographer. I want to be a clothing designer making shoes. I don't know what it is. And those are all good things. Those are great. Whatever it is, you want something on your tombstone. When your eulogy is being read, you want it to mean something. Let me tell you, don't just settle for those things. Don't just settle for that. Because those things are good. But reach higher. Make it your end goal in life to be remembered as a person who pleased God. You want to be a doctor? Be a doctor. But be a doctor who pleased God. Who lived their life walking with Him. Believing and trusting in Him. Whatever that looks like. You know, I read the text and it's very small. It just says Enoch was gone. And they couldn't find him. They looked for him, but he was no more. You know what that shows me? The people looked for him. He was missed. Now, he wasn't in some, like, locked up in some ivory tower. He wasn't in some cave just doing his Christianity by himself, just like, I'm so holy, right? And no one knows, right? Like, he lived his life in his community. He lived his life in front of his grandkids and his children and his family and everybody else. And people looked for him, but they could not find him because God had taken him. That's a legacy. Live so that you're missed. Live so that people, they say, wow, that was a person who trusted in God. That was a person who lived by faith and not by sight. And people speak about that for years and years and years to come. When you walk with God, something happens. You take on His character. The more you walk with God, the more you please Him, the more you become like Jesus. The more you look like Him, the more gracious you become. The more loving you become, the more patient you become. When you spend time in God's Word, you become wiser. You become more level-headed. You become somebody who has a sound mind. You become compassionate and merciful. You look like Jesus the more you follow God. You show yourself to be a faithful man, a faithful woman. And let me tell you, a faithful person is so hard to find in this day and age. So be that faithful person. Spend time with the living God. And when you leave this world, people will marvel at the kind of faith that you had. Leave a legacy. Make your mark known. Show this world something. Remember, Jesus said, you're the light of the world. Don't light it and then put a basket over it. Show your good works so that people will see it and they'll give glory to your Father in heaven. Show people that God is real and He exists and He's a good God and He's a rewarder to those who faithfully seek Him. Live this life and make much of Jesus. If you do that, you're a legend. Father, help us to do that. What I think of your heart, when we come to you in repentance, we can sometimes be like that prodigal son who's just like, oh, I don't know. I don't know if you're going to receive me. I don't know if you're going to accept me. Maybe I'll be a slave. Maybe. And we come to you in repentance. But Lord, just like the father in the story of the prodigal son, you're not angry. You're not disappointed that we've come to you because you're like, oh, you've sinned so many times. Lord, you run to us. You delight in us. You're pleased when we repent and we confess that we're in desperate need of you. So Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in this room who's just, they've been halted in their walk with you because of sin, that they would just confess that tonight, that they would repent to you, that they would turn around and they would know that the comforting, gracious, merciful arms of the Father are there for them. Lord, hold us tonight. We want to please you. Help us to do that by faith in you, Lord. Increase our faith. Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, let's stand up. Let's worship. This is not a time to go to the bathroom right now. We have one more song. You can hold it. Let's just worship God and give Him glory because He is due that glory, right? Anybody agree with me here? Am I just